From Capital Public Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm Beth Ruriak. Some type of concussion legislation has been enacted for athletes in every state in the country, and you're going to hear a lot in this hour about concussions and other head injuries. California, though, is among the first states to focus on the horse racing industry. I talked about this recently with Cap Radio's state government reporter Scott Rodd. I asked him first to help establish how dangerous the sport of horse racing is.
Studies show that horse racing has one of the highest fatality rates of any occupation, including other high-risk sports. Jockey deaths are often the result of head injuries, and when there's a fall or a crash, it's not uncommon at all for a head injury to be involved. Mm-hmm. Just in 2012, there was a 33-year-old jockey at a track in Pleasanton, California, who died after a fall, and a horse had actually stepped on him, and he suffered head trauma. I spoke with Dr. David Seftel. He's the track physician at Golden Gate Fields, and this is what he had to say.
This is one of the most dangerous of all professional sports, if not the most dangerous. And that is a function of the fact that you've got a very lightweight individual on the backs of an 1,100-pound animal going anywhere up to 45, sometimes 50 miles an hour. And these are beautiful animals, but they're also animals that don't know their strength, and animals that are not necessarily trained for judgment. They're trained for speed and not judgment.
California horse racing made national headlines this year when dozens of horses died down in Santa Anita Park. But these sort of accidents also pose serious risks to jockeys.
And just to be clear, that was the horses that were dying, not the jockeys in those recent incidents.
Exactly.
So other professional sports have some sort of protocol in place to deal with concussions. It's been a number of years now that it's been addressed in football, basketball, baseball. Why is it that it's just now that horse racing is taking a look at some sort of protocol in its sport?
It's tough to say. One reason is that the sport is pretty fragmented. Each state has its own commission for regulating horse racing. So there isn't one unifying body that can determine a national protocol for all horse tracks across the country. The other reason is that jockeys often have this drive to race as much as possible. Mm. They want to be on the track. They want to be racing. And that's when they're earning money. So horse owners and trainers also push jockeys to race as much as possible. If a jockey performs well on a certain horse, and if there's a big race coming up, they want them on that mount and they want them to be racing, because familiarity with the horse and performance is a very important part of the sport.
So there's been some resistance to protocols in the past. Am I understanding that right?
There has been some resistance in the past. More and more, there is growing support for this. But in the past, yeah, there was some resistance.
And do jockeys move from state to state so that there might be different rules if states were regulating it differently?
And that's definitely part of the problem, too. Some jockeys do move from state to state, especially, you know, for bigger races like the Kentucky Derby or the Belmont Stakes, which is in New York. Most jockeys will kind of be based in a certain state, but they will move around. One of the issues that I was told by the track physician at Golden Gate Fields is that there isn't a universal medical system for sharing records. So if a jockey moves from one state to another, that's also an issue.
And back to the money, they want to ride as much as possible. So if there was an incident or a concussion and they feel that they can get back up on the horse, that's sometimes what they want to do.
Absolutely. We think of the kind of upper crust of jockeys that make millions of dollars at the Kentucky Derby,
right.
But that's a very slim, small portion of jockeys. Mm. I spoke with the Jockeys Guild, which is essentially the jockey association in the U.S., and they said a survey that they did found that the average jockey earns about $30,000 per year. And not only that, that's not a salaried payment. They earn money each time they race. So if they sit out races, that means that they're going to be losing out on money, and they're not making very much to begin with.
But now California is looking to create a protocol. So what would that require?
It would require several things. First, there would be an annual requirement of what's called a baseline assessment. So that's an analysis of where a jockey is at in terms of their brain health to determine if there may be some pre-existing issues. And that will help determine after a fall if there has been additional damage done. And beyond that, if a fall happens or even an unintentional dismount, so a horse maybe bucks on the track and they come down and land on their feet, a jockey still will be required to get a clearance before they can return. So a physician certified in concussion management will have to sign off every time a jockey unintentionally comes down off a horse.
I said that this was new territory in the country, and California is among the first. Maryland is one other state that has this kind of system in place, correct?
My understanding is Maryland's the only state that has it in place right now. So California wouldn't be the first. However, California's market is much, much bigger. There are many more tracks in California, many more races, especially including state fairs. And this concussion protocol would apply to state and county fairs.
I can imagine just getting a baseline assessment on everyone. And then the question of, well, who pays for that? Do you have insurance to cover it? All of those issues along the way. What's the attitude of jockeys toward this concussion protocol?
Well, first, every jockey that I spoke to had some story about a concussion that they suffered or multiple concussions that they suffered. Jockey Frank Alvarado, who's based in California, had this to say about his experience.
I don't remember anything. The only thing I remember when I wake up in the hospital, I said, what am I doing here? And they say, oh, you fell. I say, oh, wow. But thanks God, I still alive.
How many times would you say that's happened?
How many things happened? In my career, I've been riding for 37 years. I say more than 3 or 4 times.
And he laughs, but it's really scary when you don't even remember.
Exactly. It's almost sort of a nervous laughter that you can hear from him. You know, jockeys recognize that head injuries are a serious problem. They recognize that it's a serious risk with the sport. But even with that recognition, there tends to be kind of a headstrong attitude about wanting to race as much as possible. And as I mentioned before, part of it is economic. A lot of these jockeys are not making a lot of money to begin with, but they're also intensely competitive athletes. They want to be on the track. And as of right now, jockeys pretty much have the final call as to whether or not they should get back up on a horse. So even if they're in a state where they're suffering from concussion symptoms, a lot of times they'll still decide to race, even if it's not immediately in their best interest. But there is an evolution taking place in the sport right now with greater recognition of these long-term consequences, especially looking at other sports like football, where players have seen health complications later in life after retirement from injuries during the sport. This is veteran jockey Cody Jensen testifying before the Horse Racing Board earlier this year.
I've suffered 9 documented concussions, and who knows how many that I got back up there when I shouldn't have got back up there. Us as riders, we don't always take the best care of ourselves. We don't always make the best decisions, and it's just a desire to get back out there and compete. And sometimes I think something like this is very important to protect us from ourselves. And I know as a 25-year vet of this, I could have benefited from this greatly over the time that I've had.
People you talked to said concussions have different impacts on top riders from those in the middle or the bottom of the pack, which seems to speak to safety, but maybe not. How so? What's going on there?
So for top riders, they often feel the pressure to come back because they'll have an important race coming up, and they'll feel that pressure mostly from trainers and owners. So the idea behind it is if there's a race with a big purse coming up, that a jockey will probably want to race himself, but he'll start to feel that pressure as well from others around him that want to see him perform in that race and win that race. And in fact, I spoke with this year's Kentucky Derby winner, and he said just that there is this kind of pressure that they feel. For those in the middle and the bottom of the pack, though, again, it's more economic. Certainly, jumping onto a big race to kind of advance and climb the ranks is important, but for them, it may also be simply putting food on the table and paying their bills. Again, jockeys aren't salaried athletes. So unlike, say, professional football players or basketball players, if they sit on the sidelines, they're not making money a professional football player, they're under contract and they'll still get a paycheck. But each time a jockey misses a race, that's a missed opportunity at making money. And sometimes these jockeys may go weeks or even a month or two without winning a race. So if that's the case, each race is really important for them to try to make just a livable wage.
If they're not salaried, then nobody's providing health insurance to them either. In most cases, they're on their own for that, correct?
It gets a bit complicated. They do have support from the Jockeys Guild, I believe, to purchase and attain health insurance that way. Track physicians also often provide care. I would say above and beyond sort of what's expected of a track physician. The doctor at Golden Gate Fields that you heard from earlier, he's actually performed sort of a family doctor role for a lot of these jockeys and their families. So it's a little ad hoc in terms of what health coverage looks like for these jockeys. But yeah, that is a complicating factor in terms of ensuring that all these jockeys have adequate coverage.
I'm talking with Cap Radio's state government reporter, Scott Rodd. So let's get to the State Horse Racing Board and the Jockeys Guild talking about this protocol, thinking that it would be a step forward. Not everybody agrees with that. So would you address the people who say there could be some loopholes?
Sure. I think even the people who identify loopholes think that it's the right direction. You know, the protocol is okay, a good idea. But for example, some track physicians have concerns that a jockey can get approval to come back from any physician certified in concussion management. Mm. That means that if a jockey goes to a doctor and they're told that they can't come back to race, but they want to, they can go to the next doctor and see if maybe they get the answer that they'd like. So the concern there is there might be room for doctor shopping to kind of hop around to see if they can get authorization to come back, and maybe they're not ready yet. The physician at Golden Gate Fields that I spoke to said that he thinks the protocol would be strengthened significantly if authority was given to track physicians who have daily interactions with these jockeys and have much better familiarity. So,
and then they would decide when a jockey can return.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. And the director of the Horse Racing Board acknowledged that this is a potential loophole. But he argues that the regulatory authority of the Horse Racing Board pretty much ends at where this protocol is drawn as far as determining which doctors can offer this approval. He says that that's beyond the authority of the Horse Racing Board.
Hmm. Is there a timetable on making a decision or putting a protocol in place?
So my understanding is that they are in the final stages of putting the protocol together at the Horse Racing Board. It then needs to go through the standard regulatory process in California. That can typically take months. That offers the public an opportunity to comment. It also offers the industry to weigh in on it as well, and for the state to review it to make sure that it's sound regulation. So we're still, you know, months off from this, but my understanding is that they're looking to get it done in the near term, yeah.
For now, then, no concussion protocol is in place in the sport of horse racing, correct?
In California, that is correct. No concussion protocol is in place. A heightened awareness, I would say, especially now with this protocol being worked on, but no rules in place requiring it.
Thank you, Scott.
Thank you.
That is Cap Radio's state government reporter, Scott Rodd. You can find more about the story at capradio.org. You're listening to Insight on Cap Radio.